You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and we've got the absolute titans of the Manchester United fan base with me, Mr. Joe Smith. How are we doing, brother?
Very well, thank you.
You good?
I'm here to fight.
Fight?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
For my life.
For the right.
To pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
You've got to fight for this love.
Fight for this little class song, that, you know. It's underrated.
There's so many ways to fighting for.
Yes, love a bit of that. We've also got Ronaldo Brown with us. How are you?
There's only one right, Ronaldo.
Are you still a bit annoyed at the weekend?
I told you about the weekend. When that Awobi goal went in, bro, my head went.
His head went.
I can't lie to you.
My head went way before that.
Hey, and last but by no means least, we've got Adam McCullough is with us, of course.
Bonjour.
You good, Macca? Apart from the football side of things?
Yeah, I'm all right. Hang on.
That's why he said me and McCullough can't be on like watch-alongs like that together.
And you can't have your watch-alongs like for games like that, right? Because they'll just be dead air for half an hour.
It'll just be a depression session.
If we lose the game, we might both just leave.
Yeah, like you two with someone else might work. We'll work. Or like us four on a watch-along would work. But you two on your own will just be silence for 20 minutes.
If we lose it.
I like it that way.
Yeah, I think you get a good response to that. People would appreciate it. People would be like, yeah, do you know what? I'm with you, rather than
we banned ever since the mukbang conversation that we had that time. Do you remember? You won't remember.
I remember that word, but
what is that again? It was on about half an hour before
watch
on stream, and we were just talk about nonsense for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when United are doing crap.
That's a mukbang. Someone eating food too close.
Do you remember
to
the
it was hilarious. It was one of the funniest times.
I used to love when it used to be the other way around, where United were just mint and you just got out of the game. Sometimes you just be chatting because everything's so easy. Yeah. Now it's the other way around. Sometimes you're chatting because it's so terrible. You're trying to take your mind off it, even when the game's on. You've got the laptop there.
Yeah.
So you're handling the comments
Get in
and
the
chat.
Get
so
stuck in.
Hit that like button as well. What we're going to be talking about tonight, or today,
Has Ten Hag lost it?
Look, the plot.
Well, the plot, the dressing room, the fans, is that his mind? Like, what is going on? Why is it so bad? Why has it been so bad all season? And even when things were looking up, five wins... What was it? Four wins in a row, six wins out of seven.
The glory week. Yeah, the glory.
it still feels like things aren't moving in the right direction, if you know what I mean. What is going on? How do we explain from going from last season to going from this season? We've got a good sample size for this year now. It's not a blip. It's a shocker. Why is it happening? And what can we do to fix it?
I mean,
can anything be done?
I think you might have tweeted it. I tweeted him for that. Nothing offensive. About this, the fact that... Ten Hag, I think it was you saying about like, looks like he could be losing his mind, and it happens to United managers.
Yeah.
Like, United managers arrive at the club and they're all right. Like, Jose was all right, and then he was certifiable by the time it ended. Ole was all right for a bit, and then he lost the plot. Van Gaal, even when he arrived, he was like, yeah, he's full of beans, he's all right. And then by the end, you think he's not well.
Did you see the Rooney thing about Van Gaal at the end?
No, I'm not seeing that. Talk to me, what did you do?
It made me a bit sad, man. He was just talking about how he was like, the day when we sacked him and we were celebrating the FA Cup.
So he was told.
And
early.
He goes, Louis Van Gaal was like usually loud and getting, you know, speaking with everyone, having a drink with everyone, whatever. And at the FA Cup final party, he was just kind of stood in the corner with his family. And Rooney kind of going, come on, just, you know, I know
classless
been sacked and that, but
classless.
Come and enjoy the party when he obviously didn't.
You know what? It's sad. You know what pissed me off about that as well? Right? There's that, the way we treat Louis van Gaal. And also, Lingard scores the winner. No one really talks about it. No one cared. Because it's all about van Gaal getting sacked and Jose Mourinho coming in the next day. It's like, he didn't even get the chance to revel in the fact he scored a winning goal in the FA Cup final.
No.
Like, Lee Martin had 30-odd years of it. Fair enough. But Lingard had like half an hour.
Yeah,
before all the
like
talk was about.
We didn't get to celebrate that FA Cup final
no,
at all, really.
You were saying that earlier,
yeah.
weren't you?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like it should be, because it was all like, oh, it just became about Van Gaal going and Jose Mourinho coming in. It was a bit shabby that by the club. What are the comments saying anyway about? No, go on, go on.
Are you going to just get some of the comments?
What the comments are saying.
Yeah, I like the fact that you're confident enough to tell me.
Not on the comments, because you were saying about whether Tanat's giving a vibe of almost like he's lost his head a little bit. Because I agree in an instance of, I think his manager, I've said it a few times, I think his management's looking a little bit desperate.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
And I said it to Joe earlier, it's almost like, you know when you're Bristol, I said it, when you're Bristol City gaffer and you're like 20th place in the table and at that level of football, your job's on the line week in, week out, and you don't care about how you play or style, it's just about, can I get a result this weekend to prolong my time in the job?
Yeah.
And that's the vibe that I get from the way that Ten Hag's managing week in, week out. And the writing was on the wall from the moment he said that he felt like he can't play his philosophy and his football in his way. So what he's done is, he knows he's under pressure, he knows that there's been a huge change. He's had all these issues with players, etc., and he knows that we're pretty much not putting in good performances week in, week out. And he's just relying on, can we shit out a result and win? And can I survive to the following week? Because it has to be, because we played Luton last week and they had almost 60% possession, and that can't be, that's intentional.
Yeah.
So what he's thinking is, he's playing the likes of Fulham, Luton, Forest, and he's thinking, I don't mind making this a bit of a basketball game, because I think we just about have better individuals that will end up winning the game at the end of it. And that's how we've won in the last 5 or 6
games. But do you think that's because he doesn't think this team is capable of playing the tactics that he wants to? Why is he willing to make it a basketball game? Because he never used to. That was never his theory up until now.
Yep.
Why do you think he's willing to do that now, if he is?
I've not. Because of what I said, I think he thinks that if I've got players like Rashford, Garnacho and Hoyland, quick, got Bruno, who's not really known for ball retention, but for creating opportunities, and he's thinking, can I win on transition? I'll make the game kind of stretch. It suits my players more. That because he probably thinks he can't control it. But then again, as I'm saying, if that's not your philosophy as a manager, for you to go away from that because you feel like you've gotten a bit desperate, it means that the writing's on the wall. Because we won 5 or 6 games in a row, like you said, but every single victory almost didn't feel like one. And it felt like the Fulham game, where we actually have lost, it's almost like it was coming. Do you know what I mean? It's not, we weren't a surprise.
Can I ask you something, Ronnie? Do you not think, like, now though, he might be in a position where he's got to do that because he has to win these games, and it's too late for him to suddenly start going, right, this is my philosophy, this is the way we're going to play this kind of football that the players probably aren't used to, and it's like, he hasn't got time to watch this develop now because we have to beat Forest on Wednesday, we have to not get battered off City, we have to beat Sheffield United or whatever it is, the game afterwards or whatever we've got coming up. Do you feel like he might have backed himself into a corner a little bit in terms of, I know you're saying Bristol City manager 20th in the league, whatever, got to get that result, but it feels like with Ten Hag we're almost at that stage where he has to get a result every week or he's going to get sacked.
And that can be a short-term fix, but it's not for the long-term, do you know what I mean? And that's the problem, we're trying to think long-term now.
Yeah.
Getting these like
But are the owners in the club thinking long-term? Because every other week really, we're questioning, and not us in particular, but Manchester United as a fan base, as a club, are questioning, is he right? Will he last? Will he get sacked? Like, can he actually afford to think long term? Even though we all think, you know, we don't mind a long term project, 2 or 3 years, we accept that. But when it's happening, when those 2 or 3 years of it not being very good are happening, people don't go, give him another 18 months no matter what. People want him gone now.
No.
So yeah, can he actually play it long term and lose, you know, I don't know, 8 of the next 15 games?
Because when you think in short term, it was like in some of the games we've won a lot of the games recently because of Hoyland's ridiculous form. His form's completely turned around. He's had like a strike rate that's almost not sustainable. And then the buzzword in the podcast last week was sustainability and whether it was sustainable or not. And then we found out against Fulham now it isn't. Mm. Because is bringing on McTominay last 5-10 minutes to nick a winner when he crashes the box, is that sustainable? No, it isn't. And then you've got, is Haaland scoring 75% of his shots? Is that sustainable? It isn't. Do you know what I mean? So we're seeing things where we're winning games.
It's only 65%, actually. Yeah. Well, which is equally unsustainable.
Isn't it? But it's like, we've won games. It's Manchester United. We've got players that cost a lot of money, that are expensive. They're not as quite as bad, some of them, as we say they are. And they have individual moments of brilliance that can win us games. Mm. But outside of that, you're not seeing anything positive from how the team or the framework is to see that we're going to have success long term. You might win a game or win 2-3 games, but then again, you'll lose 3-4 because there's nothing there in place that suggests that we are going to be good long term.
I think there's a decent suggestion that these players just aren't listening to his tactics.
We don't know.
That's the case. There's writings on the wall.
Yeah. You know, I remember you, Maka, talking over the years, like, Sevilla, Jose with Sevilla felt like a game where it's like, this isn't going to end well. Everton against with Ole, you felt like that's a game where you go, you might not get sat now, but I can tell this isn't going to have a happy ending. Like, it felt like a moment. Have you seen that with tonight? Do you think, like, you've seen a game where you thought, no, this isn't going to end well, or are you still holding a bit of hope that you can turn this around?
Fulham was a weird one. I didn't understand what was going on there. And there's so many, like, you're almost expecting him to make the wrong decisions now, which is a shame. And I think when you look at him last season, he seems to have everything in control. Like, you know, even though there were times when the football wasn't good, generally speaking, he was in control. We finished third, we get a trophy, another final. You know, off the pitch, he's dealing with all the issues that come to him. But now it just kind of feels like we're rushing, we're just looking around for something to stick. And what I didn't get the other day was, all right, we finally settled on something. Rashford's playing well down the left, Garnacho's in the right, all these things. And one change meant we had to make 3 changes to the team. And I just didn't get why he did that.
What would you have done if I would have just
played McTominay up top, right, or okay. just play someone in that position. Even we know it's not Hoyland, but I just felt like he changed too much. And then you get Rashford's not performing through the middle. Garnacho's a little bit different on the left. Bruno turned into that Bruno we've been, that I hate to see, you know, the one that just drops deep and starts being a whinge and moaning and everything rolling up. It's like, why are you doing that? Stick to your position, hold your head as well. You're the captain. And I just think when you see things like Bruno losing his head, and that don't look like control to me.
No.
You know what I mean? Nothing screams control at me at the moment. And you've got to be able to control these things, these situations. We seem to just be very emotional as well. When one thing goes against us, it's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 things. When everything's rosy and everything's going well, yeah, everything, you know, everyone's playing well, but there's no one really there to just grab it. And I think that comes from the sidelines as well, like having faith in what's going on the sidelines, having faith in the tactics. When you're seeing people just dropping out of position, and it doesn't scream to me that there's any faith in what's going on. And if that's the case, and players aren't playing for him, then it's worse than I thought.
What are the comments saying?
Yeah, we've got a few. So, Big Dog says, I feel like the only fan who still backs Ten Hag 100%. Think back to our expectations before he signed, that he would grow with the club, give him 3 years minimum. I back him 100%, personally.
I back him 100%, and I want him to do well. And like I'm not lying when I say that.
No, I heard
that. I also go, Ineos have just come in. They're making sweeping changes from the top to the bottom. Eventually, they're going to get to this position of, right, what do we do with our manager? Mm-hmm. And I assume that will be at the end of the season. We already did a video, which is going to be out tomorrow, about potential options next.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And when you're seeing some of the names being linked,
Jesus Christ.
First it makes you go like that. Also, it makes you think, are they doing their, you know, are they having talks behind the scenes to look at potentials? I'd like to see Ten Hag, but you gotta get the results.
I think if we gave
as
him
a results
enough
business,
time.
If you're not getting the results, then what? And you know what's gonna happen?
What?
Likelihood this week we go out of the FA Cup. I'm being serious.
Okay.
Well, let's
the
say
likelihood
50-50.
Is if we go out of the cup.
Yeah.
If we go out of the cup, and this team has nothing to play for, because top four is gone. Let's not be stupid. I know you got some notes up there about how top four could still be possible. Top four's gone. Mm. We've lost 10 games this season. We're not getting top four. And fifth ain't going to cut it. So we're not getting top four, so Champions League's gone. I don't think it's possible. It'd be very interesting then, once that last straw of hope of we could win the FA Cup goes, to see how these players start acting. Because then all we've got to play for then is, are we keeping our manager?
But what have they been playing for at the minute? It doesn't look like they've had anything to play for all season.
Exactly.
But that's part of that.
So when it's official that the writing's on the wall and this season's over, you could see things get even worse, you know.
I do think...
After this Forest game, if we lose, you could see things get very, very worse.
Yeah, but fuck that. They need to not do that. Because part of it isn't just the manager told me to take this step, left foot, right foot, breathe in, breathe out.
The manager's job to keep players on side.
I get that. And obviously, in a bigger picture, long term, if you want to be successful, you have to have a manager that the players are buying into. But just because we've not got anything to play for and we don't like the manager, we're just going to be shit for 6 months. We've already seen him do that once.
I'm not saying that should be the way.
I know you're not. And I'm disagreeing with the fact that it should even be an option for him, and I know that it is because we've seen him do it. I'm not even disagreeing with you. I just think
it's like that
at some point. Just fucking don't do that.
It's like the Atletico game under Ralf Rangnick. As soon as we lost that game at Old Trafford, the players just went, "No, this season's done."
Yeah,
like genuinely.
Yeah,
like I've never seen
they did
like a less enthusiastic performance week in week out back than we saw from those players. Other than. I think, was it Ronnie who was still trying?
Yeah, Fred was all right.
Fred and Ronnie were like, obviously, like Ronnie was just at least, even if he's always playing for himself, he was at least trying to score loads of goals.
Yeah.
It was just like the players just went, well, this manager's going, the season's done, we're not going to win out, probably not going to get Champions League, what's the point? Yeah. I get your idea, Maka, that could happen again, especially if, not only do you lose to Forest, if you lose to Forest and you lose that FA Cup game, you're going to go into the derby in the worst frame of mind possible, mm-hmm. and City will annihilate you.
Yeah.
And then if you think your mood's bad, getting knocked out of the FA Cup, getting battered 6-0 at the Etihad ain't going to cheer you up.
Yeah.
That's going to be like, I'll tell you what, this is great watching me England teammates dancing past everyone and banging goals in left, right and centre. Loving this. Yeah, it's going to be horrible.
It will be, and obviously if we play against Forest and we are as open and making the game so end-to-end, as we have been, and not control it in any sort of way. Forest, we could very much lose that. And as I said, the way we play is it makes every single match a coin flip. And out of the last, it does. It 100% does.
I agree. I completely agree.
I just don't think
he's asking him to do this.
And then every out of the last,
can't
and
be.
Basically, it's like every single game is a coin flip just because it's end to end. We can see 20 shots. Like we have 20 shots. May the best man win. That's how we play. And that you are not going to win long term playing like that.
The stats,
you
know what I mean?
The
stats, no
offense, conceded are terrible.
Yeah. All of our minds put together in terms of football knowledge are fuck all compared to Ten Hag and his backroom staff. They've been there. They've done it. Yeah. They've won loads. McLaren's won a treble. He's won the league as a manager in Holland as well. Ten Hag's won the league 3 times, was top the 4th time before COVID ruined the season. He's got to the semi-final of the Champions League. Like, these aren't thick people. Us four, looking at it going, you really think you're going to win the league or get to a team that can win the league by, like you said, coin flip every week. You have 20, we have 20, whoever gets the most wins. That's shit. But he has to know that. He's not an idiot, is he? Sure, like, I get that. Like, so, it gets to the point for me where I think the only two options are, one, the players aren't listening and they've down tools, which, like you said, could be a terrible thing for the manager because that means he's going to go, or that it's a sign that these players are capable and willing to do that for more than one manager, in which case they need to go. No. Or the other option is he's actually lost his mind and he's going, just fucking, you have a shot, we have a shot. Like, he would have to have lost it.
I think
to
a
think
lot
that
of
that
it
success.
Is we haven't had consistency in selection for a long time. So then it's hard to work on patterns on the pitch, isn't it?
Mm.
But then you've got to have some sort of style running through everyone.
I know.
It doesn't seem to be that either, doesn't? And I feel sorry for him because last year we saw, look, it may not have been perfect every game, but we saw something. You know, we saw some sort of, we were building towards some form of idea. And then when you bring Luke Shaw, Lisandro Martinez in and all these players, but bro, if they're not fit, you still have to get around it somehow. Do you know what I mean?
It does feel like rinse and repeat with the same managers. Like, what happens when things go wrong at United? We see the same thing. We see youngsters who don't usually get a chance being thrown into the first team. Mm-hmm. We've seen players who are maybe not fully fit, but the manager relies on them being played anyway.
We see that. We've seen it under Jose. We've seen it under Ole. We've seen it under Ralf Rangnick. And we've seen it again under Erik ten Hag. It's like it happens every manager.
Yeah,
we see the same thing. The results start going wrong. Players that probably aren't as good as other players getting picked because they're listening to the manager. A youngster's thrown in because it's a young player and he's full of beans and he'll try his best. That goes in. Then the ones that you're relying on who might not be 100%, they get played anyway because you trust them and they're better even though they're not fit. It's like we see it all the time and it's not... It can't just be on Ten Hag. He's got to take responsibility. But there's something... I know this is an argument everyone makes, but there's something fundamentally just wrong at this club.
Yeah, but I would like there to be some joined up thinking, like growing over the next few months between the manager and everyone above him.
Yeah.
And see if that, you know, he's in negotiations with them and all those kind of things and I'm fixing the problems that we have. Because, you know, even if Ten Hag isn't the guy, there's still a lot to be learned from him because he's been in place there for the last however long in terms of how to improve this. But also, we know him with a good structure and things. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
But then you just worry, has it gone too far?
Well, I want to talk more about that in a minute. But before that, this show is brought to you by Manscaped, isn't it, Jay?
It is. And this is the biggest sort of seismic revolution in below the waist technology we have ever seen.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I have been waiting for this since I was born.
I haven't seen this much change below the waist since Wallace made the wrong trousers.
Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was technology. This is a step above that.
It is.
The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, coming with the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, and using the code DEVILS20, you can get 20% off and free shipping on that bad boy right there.
I mean, it's the fifth generation. And don't worry, because when you hear about things changing, it's new, it's developing, you think, well, what about the things that I love?
Yeah.
What about the crop preserver? What about the crop toner? What about the boxer briefs? What about the shed travel bag?
What about all that, Jay?
What about all that?
Yeah.
Don't worry, you've got all that. Okay. Don't panic, the things that you love and trust are still there.
Yeah.
But you've also got the biggest advancement in technology we have ever seen. Not just in below the waist grooming, actually.
Yeah.
In life.
In life. Well, the new Lawnmower 5.0 has got two blades on it.
Two?
It's got the trimming blade to get things down to a nice level. Two blades.
Right. Go on.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More than you see on at Bramall Lane at the weekend.
Nice. Yeah.
Sheffield United. It's got the trimmer. So it's also got the foil blade as well, Jay.
Oh,
it goes smoother than you could possibly imagine. You can see your face in this bad boy.
Do you know what? When they came up with a multifunctional on-off button, I thought they'd peaked.
No.
I thought, hang on a minute, you can turn it off and on.
Yeah.
That you don't get better than that. And now you're talking about two blades.
Two blades.
This is unbelievable.
Unreal.
Honestly. And you're getting 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Devil Sweater. I mean, there's a link in the description. You know what to do. Click on it. Your balls will thank you.
Can we talk about Ajax? Because on Saturday night...
Why did you say that? Like my last word had been Ajax.
Can we talk about Ajax? No, because before that, if someone...
Invisible
takes
segue.
Their bit out and slices it back together.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that,
because I was so sad on Saturday night that, and I wanted some suggestion that Ten Hag was a good coach. I went back and watched the full 90 minutes of Ajax versus Real Madrid in 2019 in the Champions League.
It's going to hurt.
You know who was good then?
Everyone.
Donny van der Beek,
yeah. Was it?
4-1 in the Bernabeu.
Donny van der Beek kind of gets to the Hamburg team, bro.
Donny van der Beek was great. 4-1 in the Bernabeu, something Man United I don't think have ever done. We've never beaten Real Madrid by 3 goals away from home.
Danny Welbeck has scored there, though. So
you were there for that, weren't you?
They dominated the game. Jamming, they conceded a couple of chances, but you're playing against a team that had won, I think, three of the last four Champions Leagues. But the difference in just watching the game, the difference in how that team played, and I don't mean the tactics or who stands where, I mean the work rate, the sprinting, the speed of the team, the energy of the team.
You said something about
absolutely night and day to this United side.
What made me laugh is you were talking about this game earlier upstairs.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Casemiro in that game.
Do you know what Casemiro did in that game, which I hadn't seen him do? I didn't realise I'd not seen him do it, but when I watched that game...
I didn't get booked.
He sprinted. He actually pumped his arms and pumped his knees and sprinted across the pitch. I thought, I've not seen him do that in
2 months. You know why? Because when he's playing in a better structured team, with Modric and Cruz next to him, maybe he has the energy to do that.
Maybe
because when he plays in this team on his own, where Ten Hag's left him in that single pivot, where his leg burns out after 10 minutes, of course he can't sprint after that.
Yeah, but all right then. So because you know what's funny, Ten Hag for that, then you have to praise him for at least for what he did in that game and what he did in another game that I watched at the 30-minute highlights, which was Ajax 5-0.
Respectfully, I'm not asked about what he did for Ajax. I'm asked about what he did for United.
Not because why did he get signed?
But then he also deserves some credit for last season, though, right?
In PE when he was 12. He's only the United manager because of games like that. So you have to care about that a little bit.
I just wonder. Like, I understand.
I wish Ineos came in like mid of last season.
Or the start of last season. Oh yeah, mid last season.
So we had him in the summer.
I just wonder whether it's kind of in Ineos's mind gone too far. Like they're looking at. I'm not saying he should have. I'm just looking where they're looking at it, because the trouble you've got with Ineos as well is, unlike the Glazers, they're switched on as to what is going on in the football pitch completely. Dave Brailsford is at every game, home and away. Yeah. And guarantee Sir Jim Ratcliffe knows the score if he's not at a game anyway. He knows what's happened.
Was it a fans bandit?
Yeah, the crowd. He's going to know and he's going to give a shit.
I reckon Dan Ashworth, Omar Berardo, all these people back, they would have had. They were working around football and around the league. They would have had preconceived ideas of Ten Hag, and what if they didn't rate
him? Some of them would have been good, I thought.
What if they did?
Yeah, but City were linked with Ten Hag as well, potentially. You know, if Pep was ever going to leave, City would have
been. Yeah, we're talking like everyone hates him and he's shit and he's going to get sacked. But that's not necessarily the case.
I'm not saying that.
Ajax beating Real Madrid doesn't help Man United. But what you saw there and what I saw there is a coach who knows what tactics are. He knows how to not let. Real Madrid had a few chances, but of course they did, because it's Real Madrid at home in the Champions League. No one's ever stopped them doing that. Even City, when they battered them at the Etihad, you know, mostly. Like, there is a coach there that made a team of 21, 22, 23-year-olds dominate that game. Physically, intensity-wise, tactics-wise, players running in behind, making runs, people actually finding them, first time pass. Like, it wasn't a guess or an accident. I can't imagine he's forgotten what it is to have a team that plays good football.
Do you think, though, was there any signs, like with that Spurs game, for example, was there any signs that this could happen?
Well, maybe there was, but
because that Spurs game, obviously, the last minute winning from Lucas Moura, it's a body blow, but it's also, you got beat off, it was at home as well, wasn't it, off Spurs to get yourself knocked out of the Champions League. Was there any signs there, do you think, that this could be a manager that things could, you know, he could struggle at some
point? They beat Tottenham at Tottenham.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they obviously lost at home. Yeah. And I think those sorts of games.
Because I was gutted about Spurs win, by the way, because I fancied Ajax to beat Liverpool. No, I fancied Ajax to beat Liverpool in the final. And Spurs didn't even bother trying.
And the other game I watched was 2 years later with a different structure. They got Sebastian Haller up front, big striker, not the same as Tadic, who's a completely different player. And they beat PSV 5-0. I know PSV aren't Real Madrid, but this isn't just like two games he had. He won the league every year he was there.
I wanted Ten Hag. I was with you. When we were linked with Ten Hag and Pochettino, I thought it was a no-brainer for me.
I think you guys stick with him, you know.
I do.
I would stick with him. My concern isn't what people around the table
are
doing. It's what Ineos
have a bit of sun on his back. Have a few signings coming in.
I actually think the players might be better as well if the players knew this guy's not going anywhere. I think if you said to them, if Brailsford or Rashford or Ratcliffe came out and was like, Ten Hag's going to be the manager next season. So I'm telling you now.
If he's likely going to get to the end of the season anyway.
Yeah.
What if he ends the season quite incredibly poorly and we end up finishing 6th or 5th? Do you think Ineos stay with him? Because I don't think they do.
Finish 5th. That'd be incredible.
If he finishes 5th, he'd promote.
Honest to God. Contract extension.
It depends how they're doing things, though, Ineos. If they think of it as, how is the manager making the players play, and it's not very good, then he'll go. But if they're thinking of the playing staff and the playing team is a 40-man team or whatever, if you include some of the reserves and the coaches, a 40-man team that we need to get every 40 of those pieces correct, and you look at a handful or half a dozen or a dozen of the players and say they aren't right, regardless of the coach, this guy, and this guy have got to go. Is it fair to sack the manager before you sort that stuff out? I think maybe if they look at it as a whole and say, could Ten Hag win the league?
We've said this already, though. Ineos have come in and have made sweeping changes across the board, and the management role is part of that. So they will come in and if they've changed everything else above it, it obviously puts a little bit of pressure on their thinking, is Ten Hag my guy? And that's what Omar Berard are going to think. That's what Brailsford's going to think.
He's the only actual change, though, Berard. Everyone else is new people in new positions. Richard Arnold's the only person that's left.
Do you know what? Deep down, right? If I'll be honest with you, I kind of think they will stick with him.
Yeah.
Deep down, I think they will.
No matter how he finishes the season.
I'm getting the feeling.
Unless it's horrendous. I don't know. I think even if he finishes sixth, he'll still keep his job.
Because every successful team that you see, you feel like when you watch the team, it's almost like a representation of the manager. Do you know, like their vibe and their character?
I hear you.
You don't see that.
I wonder whether they look at it and go,
this club has ruined so many managers.
Yeah. And he did say it, Ratcliffe, in his interview, didn't he? He said, in the last 11 years, we've been through so many different coaches. Yeah, I know he said kind of whichever way you want to push the argument, you can look at the quotes and skew them to that way of thinking. But he did mention about the fact that you have to look at more than just the manager. And I just wonder whether they, going back to your Ajax point, and Mac has made it as well.
The players as well.
The structure was there, so you're getting the best because you've got a structure that works. They might look at it and go, look, some of these transfers, you shouldn't have been allowed to make them. But we're going to
two things could be true.
That's the only thing I'm thinking.
Two things could be true.
You know what might be a sign that he hasn't gone mental? He stopped playing Anthony. Mm. So maybe he's found his mind.
Maybe he's all right.
We're going out here. I think he's lost his mind. But he stopped playing Anthony.
Even when our striker, one of our wingers isn't even at the club anymore in Sancho, and our other wingers had to play up front, he still didn't play.
Even when Omari Forson comes off,
child.
Diallo goes on.
Yeah.
Your sub is coming off for your other sub.
But they're not playing Diallo is a bit of a, maybe he is mental.
Yeah. Wow. Now, but surely, I think he's probably pulled Anthony in the room and probably thought, you're going to get me sacked.
Pulled him off.
And just basically said to him, you're going to get me sacked.
Maybe he has. Maybe he's thinking that. But when everyone was fit, everyone, you know, people criticise him for starting McTominay every week. And then when everyone was fit,
sort of thing Fergie would say, like, you play like that again, you're going to cost us all the title.
Now, but when he started McTominay, it's because he kept coming on and scoring.
But he still hasn't seen that. He still stuck him in midfield. Stop being stupid, man.
Yeah, and he's done that. Because that's what I said at the start of the pod. He sees something that works that might not necessarily be his philosophy. And then he sticks with it because he hasn't been starting McTominay.
You're 1-1 in the 80th minute and you've got Scott McTominay or Anthony on the bench, because there isn't fucking Aguero whoever sat on the bench. They are the options.
The sad thing is, right, if everyone's fit, yeah, if Martinez is fit, if Hoyland's fit, if Shaw's fit, if Varane, I know he's fit now, but if everyone's fit, I reckon we can see a better style of football. I reckon he's got a point, but the issue is, you never get that scenario. You never get that scenario where you're going to have all these players fit. Like, Martinez is a... I think you would.
No, that's in possession, though. The issues that we see with United when we watch them out of possession, where they're being massively open, you've got the forwards pressing high with the defensive line dropping deep, and you've got huge gaps, and you've got Casemiro having to cover a lot more distance than he can cover. I think those things can be resolved by just playing
regularly together.
That's nothing to do with personnel, but sometimes you're in a team defensively.
You've got like so many different changes.
But also
so
defensive things, a lot of them are just based off repetition and doing things over and over. When you're chopping and... We've had about 12 different centre-back partners.
It's true, but
we've had about five different left-backs.
But do you think that he wants them to play like that with this massive gap between strikers and defence?
We've seen it week in, week out. On the ball, with Martinez, Shaw playing, we're ten times better and 10 times more likely to control a game and be better in that way. Because they're better. They're probably two of our most progressive and most technical footballers. So without them, we are going to struggle building up and keeping possession. That is right. We'll be better in that instance. But the stuff that you're seeing out of possession, where like there's huge gaps everywhere, everyone seems to be doing different jobs. You don't look like there's any sort of unison, and you've got like Fulham players just running 4v3 on our defence all the time.
It wasn't that bad when everyone was fit, though, was it? It wasn't that bad. Like last season, we beat Liverpool, Barcelona, not City, Old Trafford especially.
Our home record like, last season. Like, is
you, know, we beat the, you know, we beat the European champions at Old Trafford. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying that.
We got outplayed by Fulham.
I know, but I'm saying now they have injuries as well.
They made six changes on the weekend with injuries.
I hear that. I just feel like my point is I'm not saying everything's rosy when everyone's fit. It's not. I'm saying it's not a little bit of an argument where he has got a point in the sense of he's missing. When he's missing these key players, when he's missing so many players, it is affecting what he's trying to do.
That's my point.
Saying it's acceptable to be letting Fulham run through midfield at Old Trafford.
In a dream world, we'd have two players as good as Martinez, or three. We'd have a Luke Shaw on both sides. We'd have, you know, two Hoylands. You know what I mean? Like, the players who are good, most teams don't just have one.
No.
City have usually got five centre-backs in the squad. Any of them can rotate and come in.
They've got about 12 midfielders.
That's one issue in terms of our recruitment, where we've got one good version of about five positions, and then a half-decent version of three and a shit version of
that comes down to United, though, as well, because we've allowed him to buy Anthony, for example. But like, we've allowed him to do that, so now he's kind of tarnished with that. You know, like if that was a signing made by Dan Ashworth and Omar Berada and the lads.
Well, that'd worry me more.
You wouldn't know, but you kind of go, you can't blame the manager for that.
No.
But when he's tied to him
And you're like, that's the manager's guy. What, it's even worse.
What are the comments saying?
Right. Yeah, Cameron S, who's been a member for 41 months, which is sensational.
Thank you, Cameron.
He says, we've seen...
I've been alive that long.
We've seen...
That's before we had the channel.
Yeah. We've seen Ten Hag. I don't know what he's a member of. We've seen what Ten Hag does under a good structure at Ajax. He needs a chance to do that at United. I'd lose my mind too under that structure. Nath Doc says, have you seen enough to keep Ten Hag? If yes, why? For me,
I did last season.
Signing style, tactics, decisions, not good enough. I think, for me, I think I have.
But not this season.
But not this season, no. Completely agree.
Because you know what you've got to be careful of? Because it's not worked under, obviously, we know the structure's bad, and it's not worked under a lot of managers, even better pedigree than Ten Hag. That can be true, but Ten Hag could also end up being just maybe... not good enough.
No, I mean, hear your point.
Because it's not worked with other managers with better pedigree, even though Ten Hag's not good enough,
if you think of it from a scientific perspective, and you go, right, we're testing to see if we've got this trace of whatever in these test tubes, and then someone spills the fucking tomato soup in all the test tubes, you also can't say, well, we know it's not there either. The problem is we don't know.
As in, what happened to the tomato soup?
We're trying to detect
soup.
A good manager.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. As a football team, we're trying to detect, is this guy a good manager? Yeah.
Yeah. What's in the thing?
Some test tubes. Ten Hag sperm is in some test tubes. Right. Okay. You're taking a sip of each one.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
That's not part of the thing. That's just your choice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But if you're trying to detect whether Ten Hag is a good manager or not,
yeah,
you're saying you can't say that he is just because the structure above him is bad.
Right. I hear that.
You also can't say that he's not. Just because the structure above him is bad.
Right.
Like,
that's not quite what I'm talking about.
What did you say?
Because we've been through a lot of managers that have even better pedigree than him that have also struggled under Richie.
But also a lot of those managers didn't perform as well as he did last season.
But the thing is, just that still doesn't absolve him of, if you see right now what he's doing, of him doing things that are poor in terms of his management.
I know, but
he can still be not good enough, you know what I mean?
He could be the best manager in the world, but we'd never get to see it because of the structure above him. So you can't say it one way, but you also can't say he must be shit because everything's been shit. Because we don't know either way.
Do you believe in him?
He might be a product of his environment.
I believe he should get till the end of the season and see where we end up. I think that's reasonable. But from what I'm concerned,
it's not even about where we end up. We have to see
something.
Some shit's going on. There's improvements being made. Even if it's just positivity's building. I feel like we've lost. The fans don't care anymore, man. I felt it. It's just. I really want Ten Hag to do well, but I don't ever remember going there fucking can't wait to go watch this team and the fans being up for it. It's been a long time.
I was saying to you, I'm scared taking my lad or my daughter to the game. Honestly, because I took my lad to Bayern Munich. We got knocked out of Europe. We didn't even make it Europa. My youngest went to Bournemouth for a birthday and we got beat 3-0. I mean, it's terrible. Do you know what I mean? It is terrible.
Because can I ask you a question? So when you're watching United week and you see us being as open as we are, and it's
both. I love it.
You love it.
Let him finish.
I'm joking.
Does that fill you with confidence? When you're seeing stuff you're playing Amari Forson over Diallo, and you're seeing week in, week out, we're conceding 20 shots to teams that are incredibly poor, teams that we should be beating. Does that instill you with confidence? No. Have you seen anything this season from a style?
Then I also know he didn't want Maguire in his team every week. I also know those kind of things, you know what I mean? I don't think he planned on a lot of these things that are happening with the players that we've got at the moment.
Yeah. I just feel that
there's so many injuries to this team, man. It does make a big difference. Yeah. He didn't want Maguire starting every week.
Yeah. He wanted
Lindelof ideally would have been a backup defender.
He must have had a plan for Mason Mount, who we've not seen anything of at all. He must have wanted.
We could have just got him on free.
That's what I mean. He must have thought, I want Mason Mount for a reason. Yeah. And that reason wasn't to just be in the physio room.
One of our topics here was, are we relying on Hoyland? We've got one striker, bruv.
Wow.
We've literally got one striker.
And it's he said that because he was getting grief the other day, wasn't he, off someone for sticking with Martial. like, why did you stick with Martial? You must have seen, like,
yeah.
And he was like, well, he's almost like, I haven't got a choice, I've got money. Say, like, yeah. You know what I mean? I brought in Weghorst last season because he was cost now.
I've seen people saying they'd rather have him back. Jesus.
No, let's not.
To your point there, when I see that happening, I think something is terribly wrong with how United are playing. I don't look at it and like it.
You literally weren't happy when you still weren't completely happy when we won those four or five games. Well, you still came in.
That's the thing. I'm not like, so it's like blind and deluded to thinking, oh, we won, we must be amazing. I think the only good part of that run was the first half against Wolves, where I thought we were excellent. And other than that, it's been really hit and miss. But the problem that I have is I don't think he's asking them to play exactly the way they're playing. And obviously, maybe that's a lack of ability to play how he wants him to, a lack of understanding, which is on him. He has to teach it. A lack of willingness, again, he has to create an environment. But I don't think they are executing his plan to the way he wants it to be done. It can't be.
After the game, when he was like, everything's really positive on that. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. I love that.
I know you are paraphrasing.
But he suggested, like,
everything's good, even the scoreline.
Things are really positive, and it's like, either you've had conversations and there's been things going on behind the scenes which lead you to feel that way, and correctly so, or you're trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes, and your team's included, and hold this together for as long. And if it's the latter, there's no way back.
We're all cool, aren't we, boys? We also like each other. Do you think he's doing that to the players almost?
This
is really positive, ain't it, lads? Like,
that's what I mean, yeah.
Like,
he's almost sort of pretending to them.
I do sympathise with him a bit, though, because I get the thing about tactics and whatever, but you've got certain players who have just been awful lately.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. We've got players that are underperforming and not good enough, and then you've got stuff that are wrong.
Stuff that you can definitely point at a manager, and other stuff that you go,
it's like we've used the injury as a thing. I know some of the injuries have been contact, but there's been a few muscle injuries that we've had.
Yeah.
Can you kind of realise that? Sometimes, obviously, there have been question marks about the intensity of training, but I don't think that's the issue. But playing this like proper vertical transitional style, where it's, as I said before, as we have a go, you have a go, and the game's just like this as a basketball game, cannot not contribute to muscle injuries as well.
See it though. That's the thing for me. You watch him and you watch his career. He's not an idiot. He's not someone that doesn't get it. He's not just like, I agree, and this is the problem. Me and you agree on everything but the last sort of 15%, where you think this is a reason why he's probably not up to it. And I think there has to be something else going on here. Maybe it's just me being deluded because I wanted to support him, but I can't imagine he wants Casemiro playing in a fucking 40-yard box where no one else is in it. Surely you don't think that's a good idea. We've got loads of super chats.
Go on, go for the super chats before we wrap up.
Matthias Anderson says, if not Ten Hag, who do you want to see appointed? Will we go through that on Uncensored tomorrow? So make sure
check out that video tomorrow.
Aaron Murr says, hope all's well, lads. Me, Steve and Adam in Dublin for the Paddock Match Legends. Met Steve and Adam for the Paddock Match Legends. What do you think of the Ten Hag out clowns? Well, the thing is, I can see how you get to that conclusion. I just don't
I've
get to that
conclusion.
I've got
mates who are
myself.
Ten Hag out. Yeah. And you can't say they're not United fans. A lot of them are season ticket holders.
Yeah.
And they've had enough.
You need to get rid of that travellers and old. Sometimes I get it. If you ain't blindly backing the manager.
This isn't MUTV.
Through everything.
If people have given up, I get it.
Then you're a clown.
Yeah. Like, no one likes watching your team lose 10 games at home or whatever it's been. No.
I mean, that geezer phoned in talking about Gary Pallas's package.
Yeah, and that was class. That's the best thing MUTV ever did.
Nathan Dock says, how many have Ten Hag signings have we got to replace? Well, how many play? Two. Three, sorry. Hoyland, Onana, and Martinez. That's it, isn't it? Oh, Casemiro. Yeah.
You know, but as I said before, the loss on the weekend did kind of hurt us with the injury argument.
Yeah.
Because Fulham came to Old Trafford and they...
But that doesn't mean that
they had just as many injuries as we had and still looked like a better team structured than us.
Levi Paler, I don't know if it's a silent G, says, if we sack Ten Hag, the players will think that, nice one, we can work hard for a year under the new manager and give up as well.
No, I hate that suggestion
and make
because
sure they know their
people act like this was the same squad for Van Gaal and Mourinho and Moyes. It's not.
Mm. Well, who are the same players? Martial, no Rashford, one. Shaw, Bruno. He's played under a handful of them.
Maguire.
Exactly.
Maguire.
Mm. Two of them have been our best players over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's flawed, isn't it? But I get the as well. People look.
But
for
I do think the culture.
People look for things that's like a constant throughout all that.
I was a constant.
Yeah.
Maybe
I blame you personally.
Oliver Di Melare says, Doubts on Ten Hag's in-game ability to adapt persist, even with Ineos signings. Injury challenges loom. Can he adapt when it's crucial? Are you confident?
Them injuries are a problem. Or
yeah.
His in-game management has left.
I'd have to look deeper into that because, like, season. Lisandro Martinez having some 6 foot, 18 stone geezer land on his knee isn't because of training. You know what I mean? Like, there's some injuries where you're very unlucky in some way.
That was brutal. That. Yeah. The one player that we definitely needed, and he comes back, and then that happens.
Yeah. And again, it's like I said before, it's
sad. By the time he comes back,
we've only got one defender who can do that.
I know, honestly.
The big Lebowski, Lebrowski, actually, says, lads,
it's Tottenham.
Can any of you list even 10 good performances under Ten Hag in the whole time? I mean, it would take a while, but I think I could. The whole time he's been at the club, even when we win, we look dreadful. That I would agree to a certain extent this season. Last season wasn't perfect by any means, and there was a lot of bad performances. But I do think there was a lot of good ones.
Yeah. And also
even if they weren't like,
if you win, like you beat Liverpool at home, you're buzzing. Yeah. You might look at the game and go, actually, we rolled our luck a little bit, and it was a little bit more counter-attacking than you liked, and De Gea was just hoofing the ball up. But you won, so you don't
play very well against City at home last season.
Yeah, you don't like.
We backed Tottenham. That was a brilliant performance last season.
Tottenham last season was perfect in every way.
Yeah, when you see that, I think right.
The atmosphere was mint.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
That is achievable. We just need to work on repeating it. Anyway,
right. Big Wally thank the you. Week. Oh yeah, Wally the week.
We've got to do it.
Christina Milian.
Why?
I saw your tweet.
She broke my heart, man.
Yeah.
Why?
She went to an Arsenal game.
Christina Milian went to an Arsenal game.
The amount of times I watched Dip It Low. Deal.
What we
not just watched it either.
Yeah.
Filth.
Dirty.
Red Rocket.
Who are you going with, Ronnie?
Can I go with Liverpool fans?
Okay, say no more.
Just collectively.
Collectively, yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that your time in the club has affected your attitude towards them.
It's just their reaction to how them winning a Carabao Cup compared to what they said when we won it last year. Mm. Strange people.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably just Chelsea, innit?
I was going to say, mine's not
even
similar.
Because like, they fucking had so many chances to win it.
Yeah.
I don't even blame Poch personally.
Oh, I do.
Do you? I don't. He put a team out that had like 7 very good chances against Liverpool. Oh, one of you fuckers has got to put the ball in the back of the net. Like, Conor Gallagher should have scored 3 goals by himself.
Go with him now. Go with Conor Gallagher.
But come on, can someone stop Liverpool?
Conor Gallagher was Chelsea's best player.
He was. But he should have won him the game, and he didn't, and he couldn't. Like, if you have 3 big chances and you don't score any, yeah,
Do you know what? It's not. I'm not even going with Poch. It's these people, right? After a League Cup game, come out with insane statements about people, players. He must be the best ever. Yeah. That game doesn't prove anything. That doesn't show you that he is. If you believe that, fair enough. Yeah. But come on, man. People get.
Who's yours?
Someone in the Republican Party or something.
Nah, by the way, if I got a ticket, I'll use a lot of pain.
You up?
If I've got a ticket, or you've got a pen.
Just anyone. Lee Anderson.
Wally of the Week.
Why not?
Use free.
What?
That's Wally
of the Week.
That's
Wally. Wally of the Week.
What about Wally of the Week is you for not buying a parking ticket that finishes after the fucking podcast?
Maybe because they're not like 2 hours parking or something stupid.
Why
like
do you always park on the street?
I'll give you 5.
Because the car park I usually park in is full of fucking builders and stuff.
If you need a 5, Ronnie says I'll lend it.
I'll give you 5.
You've got that money on you, that you keep flashing around. Give him that money.
Come on.
He's always waving this around. Like, do you know how long he's had this? He's had it about 6 months. Give it him. Right,
put that to the light.
Right. That's going to be all from us. Thank you for joining us. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Make sure you check out Manscaped. The link is in the description. Use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping.
You still owe me 50 quid.
For what?
I get a ticket, 60 quid.
See you in a bit. Sports Social Podcast Network.